Hello, and welcome to the November 20th edition of Land Party.
You forgot to apologize.
I haven't gotten to that yet. You're screwing it all up.
Sorry.
God, if you weren't high all the time, then...
Yeah, no, dude, I'm November 20th. Back right now.
November 20th, 11/20.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I'm almost 26.
Really? When's your birthday?
You're
Saturday.
A baby.
Oh, his birthday's Saturday.
Wow. Happy.
That's awesome. Happy early birthday. All right, happy, so let Ryan finish his spiel.
Well, you screwed it up.
You want to start over?
No, we don't roll that way here.
That's what I thought.
I am Ryan Scott, your host, and I'm sorry for everything you're about to hear today.
Yeah.
And we also have
Matt Chandernay,
Anthony Gallegos,
Tina,
and no
Tina,
and no Robert
Tina
Ashley.
Sanchez.
Just
Tina.
One word, like
girl,
like Madonna.
I just want people. I just want to say it up front. There's no Robert Ashley.
I know.
Yeah. So people can hit stop right now.
Yep.
And
all right, end of podcast. See you guys next week.
Robert Ashley is having some sort of personal emergencies or something. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, you couldn't be. Yeah,
you can send various delicious treats our way. So send it to 101 Second Street, Robert Ashley, care of Anthony Gallegos, 101 Second Street. San Francisco, California.
In fact, just don't even put Robert's name on the envelope.
8th floor, Ziff Davis
just
Media.
Send it straight to Anthony.
And we didn't want to thank anyone this week. We wanted to say...
Well, yeah, you know, I mean...
screw you.
I would say screw you, Tim.
But
I've also received several PMs asking me for the mailing address and Steam messages. So
wow.
Awesome. That I know that people are sending stuff. I mean, it's not like
did it just become like the candy like charity drive podcast?
It is. Like I feel a little dirty, to be honest.
God,
I mean,
we have a snack machine like last week, 20 feet away.
Last week we talked about Tina being dirty. This week I kind of feel dirty.
Oh yeah, I don't even remember that.
So. Yeah, I don't remember the context either. I just remember it happening. Although since Robert Ashley isn't here, that means Anthony has to be the funny one.
I'm ready for the challenge.
Okay.
Nice.
Was there like
all right,
something
do it.
Here?
Be funny. Go.
I like peanuts.
I get the way you do, like fart in the microphone or something. Like, haha, farts are funny.
Let's see if you had done it right then it would have worked. Right when he said it.
Maybe we should bring Chris onto the podcast today.
I don't like him.
Fuck that guy.
So everyone's been playing Left 4 Dead except for Ryan Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be playing.
I know, but
you've been
knee deep in Wrath of the Lich King.
Actually, except for Ryan Scott and except for Matt Chandernay.
Oh, you didn't play last night?
No, I don't. Because my PC is.
Yes, you're right.
Like, I have all of my parts. They're all sitting at my desk and they're ready to go. A beautiful new graphics card, an Intel Core 2 Duo. 2 gigs of RAM, 4 gigs of RAM,
four gigs
of RAM for $56, which is goddamn incredible.
Wow!
And then, Anthony gave me an extra motherboard this morning, and a hard drive too. And it's like all it has to do is be put together. But because of the one-up show, and because I'm going to Idaho on Sunday, I don't think I'm going to be able to put together my PC until after.
I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing at Idaho. That's what I'd laugh.
No,
at.
We're laughing at the part of our soundproofing material. Whatever. Yeah.
Tian's just laughing because she's high.
Shut up, dude.
Yeah, we tried to put a bunch of soundproofing on the windows here in Jeff Green's old office, but it's like
falling apart,
and like totally not working. So if it gets more echoey as we're going along, that's why.
That means the walls are falling down on top of us.
Times are hitting Ziff hard in the sky. I had a dream last night, too, that the economy was saved by...
By
Batman?
No, this is a true dream, as
okay.
a matter of fact.
Oh,
a true dream in that it really happened.
Right.
And then I woke up this morning, and in my dream, I remember we were all sitting in this like big like filming thing, like you know, like the Tonight Show would be,
right.
And Barack Obama was there.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, and he wasn't president yet, like he isn't right now. He brought out Bill Gates, and Bill Gates and his rich friends bailed us all out of the economy crisis. And now I think about that logistically, Bill Gates doesn't have enough money to do that. I realize, but in my mind, I was like, fucking Bill Gates
Fuck
just
yeah,
saved the
dude.
My mom was somehow convinced that this was a terrible thing, and I was like, how can such a generous act of charity be such a terrible thing, mom? And I was trying to convince my dad that Barack Obama was okay. because look how he turned the economy around. That was my dream.
Wow.
That's cool.
Wow, that's much better than the dreams I normally have.
I usually just dream like spiders are attacking me or something.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
So I hope someone ships us a box full of spiders.
Oh, God, no.
That would be about the fastest way to cause me to have a heart attack and die.
Really?
I'm deathly afraid of spiders. Aww.
That sucks, dude. I'm sorry.
All right, well.
Indiana Jones, he's afraid of snakes.
Snakes, yeah.
Snakes don't come up as often as spiders do. Like, every time you were in a fucking cave, you'd be screwed.
Screwed.
Every time.
You are not equipped for archaeology, my friend.
I never thought I was.
All right, so
Left 4 Dead.
So at least me and Tina have been playing Left 4 Dead, and Matt's played it. So right?
I played the Xbox one, yeah.
Yeah.
Played it.
Yeah.
Not the real one.
I want to thank Comcast Cable for like hooking me up with a fast ass speed to download that shit.
All right, hold on. Let's not say you want to thank Comcast Cable.
I know.
Because you pay extra for Comcast to give you a fast ass connection.
I know.
It's not a hookup at all.
Well, when we're on the subject of Comcast Cable, when I first moved into the apartment I'm in now, I swear to God, I had to call them like once a month because my internet went out like every month for the first 4 months. Comcast sucks.
Went out?
Or at least they suck for
like
Ryan
they had
Scott.
To come and like fix it.
You're exceeding your bandwidth or something?
No, it was just broken.
Ryan downloads far too many Naruto torrents.
Dang. You're outing me.
Dang.
Anyways. Yeah, no, it was fast. Steam's awesome. No, but
so the you guys have played both the PC and Xbox version?
Yeah, I have the Xbox version in my bag. I'm going to be playing it tonight, but the PC version now I've played through two full campaign, like, well, not campaigns, two full movies.
Movies, yeah.
Yeah, and I played with Tina a little bit last night, and then I played with David Ellis as well, my roommate.
I played with Kathleen last night too.
Nice.
And I like it. You know, there, I would hear some people that I was playing with complain about, like, how they actually expected it to look a little bit better.
Really?
And it's like, yeah.
Wow.
Only because, you know, like, and I'm like, remember, this is like a 4-year-old engine. Like,
well, not only that, there's like a million zombies on the screen.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, you have to imagine that they're making certain sacrifices to do what they do with like as many models are on screen, and the fact that they do have, even though you can't see like everyone else's flashlights actually affecting lighting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like your flashlight alone does so much with the lighting and stuff that's.
But that actually surprised me on the PC version, because I was looking over your shoulder while you're playing the PC version. And I was like, okay, I thought the flashlight thing would just be a limitation of the Xbox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's not on the PC
I'm
either.
I'm surprised you can't at least toggle it.
Yeah, exactly.
On or off.
Yeah.
I mean, if your hardware can handle it, because shadows are really rough on on systems and all that. But
so I bet that's a mod that'll come out really fast as people allow other people's flashlights to
I've already been hearing a lot of people complaining about the fact that it's a $60 game. Like, people don't think that it should be like a full retail release. But
yeah,
to me, I think they're totally off base. Because
I think so too.
There's like four or five movies you can play for. But I was gonna say, like, the AI director does, like, I mean, I'd seen a million one-up shows with the guys from The Made It, you know, and I'd heard them be like, the AI director does this. But until you play it and you literally see, like, when you die, even between, like, when you die and replay a segment, like, how much things change.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, I'm going to run back in this room where the Molotovs were, except now there's no Molotovs and there's five zombies. You know, it's like little things like that. Or there would be times I'd be playing with David and David would be like, we can't keep dawdling, man. The director's going to basically
get
mad
funny.
Or something like that and send a wave at us. And it would happen. And I was like, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, the AI guys alone for that game deserve, like, some pretty incredible awards for the various amount of things. It literally does, like, say what you will about it only having four movies, but I can already tell it's going to be one of those games that's going to be, like, people will play for so long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Especially
oh, yeah.
multiplayer. That was fun. We hopped on with, like, some random one-up users last night.
Like, versus?
Yeah,
versus.
Oh, cool.
It was so much fun.
I tried playing with Rory and all those guys.
Yeah.
And I was on the opposite team from them.
You got your ass kicked.
Oh, my God. I dropped in, like, the first 2 minutes. I was like, this just isn't fun.
That's awesome.
Because when they're, like...
What, did you have anybody else on your team, or was it
I did,
you?
But they were all random people that jumped in, and then... Rory and all those guys that were
the
pro zone layer fools, were all in the zombie team. And the way that they would, like, coordinate was insane. So, like, all of a sudden, like, Matt would run up and puke on me. And then, like, when I would back into a corner, the guy that would run up to defend me, he'd get shot by a smoker and pulled off. So someone would go to rescue that dude, and he'd get hit by a hunter, and it was just like...
It was so like, well coordinated.
Exactly, and I was like, man, this is like why like playing against the AI is one thing, because they send stuff at you at a mostly manageable rate.
Right.
But playing against players, man, that is for people that want to be kicking the balls a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's also because, like, because the zombies, they don't... I mean, the AI director is supposedly tuned for fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, like other players are tuned to kick your ass.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's going out for the highest score and stuff like that. And the AI director, I think, does do a pretty good job. Though there definitely has been times so far in what I've played that I'm like, seriously, like, how were we supposed to beat that? Like, there are times that I think sometimes maybe it does go a little bit nuts.
Well, and there are huge jumps, apparently, between the difficulty levels.
To be fair, I was always playing, I was never playing on normal. I was always playing on, like, advanced.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that that's, like, an acceptable thing if you're, like, really comfortable with first-person shooters on PC and stuff, like advances where you kind of want to, and especially if maybe if you're playing like a random game with a pickup group online, you probably want to do normal.
Yeah.
But where you guys actually are willing to listen to each other and coordinate, like advanced works really well.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was playing last night as a Survivors, like with some random one-up users, some guy would always try to be like badass and run off all by himself.
And then
and then you're like left all alone. It just doesn't work like that.
No,
you
can't
play the game like that all by yourself.
It's sort of like when you play Horde mode in Gears and somebody runs off on their own and they get down, you're like, you're gone. We're not coming after
you. That definitely happened last night when I was playing with Arthur and David and stuff. There was like one point where like, Arthur got hit by a tank and he fell like onto a level below us and then the zombies were, and he died when he fell.
Right.
And, but you know, he was downed.
Right.
And all the zombies were just kicking him. And I just remember David was like, sorry, man. And he just threw a Molotov all over him while they were all grouped.
It's like a real zombie movie.
Yeah, exactly. No, right.
Sacrifice him.
It's like, yeah, you know, the rest of us got to live. That's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was a little annoyed with that game because there's friendly fire, but I actually think that it works totally well because it adds like a whole nother dynamic of like
teamwork,
Well, not only teamwork, yes, but you can't be like a crazy balls out jerk and just firing crazy because you're like, oh shit, I might hit my teammates.
Right.
And so there are literally times when like I'll see a zombie running up on someone and like I'll have to like hesitate my shot because I'm like, I don't know if I can do it without hitting him.
Right.
Which is like, you know, I guess, I mean, it's definitely not a realistic game, but that is a moment of more realism.
Well, at least they tune down, you know, the damage that you do to the other players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the shotgun doesn't do nearly as much as, I mean, it kills a zombie outright and player takes off like 10 health or something that. But
still a lot.
Yeah.
It is.
One-tenth of their life, dude.
Yeah, I was really impressed when I first saw the game and like how
I know math. Sorry. Anyways, sorry.
I was really impressed when I first saw the game about how it just barely keeps you alive like the whole time. Like you're popping pills to have some temporary health.
Yeah.
And then you'll get into the fucking safe room and the safe room won't even always have enough med kits for everybody.
Yeah.
Nope.
I always feel like a sense of anxiety too, even with the pills. Cause you know, that goes
it's
away eventually.
Down.
Yeah.
Just kind of makes you want to like run through, but you can't because there's so many enemies and there's hordes coming after you.
There's definitely like, I think Left 4 Dead's going to be one of those games that for like a, months, if not possibly years, until the next one comes out. It's going to be one of those games where there's like great anecdotal stories coming out all the time.
Yeah.
Like even last night when all of us were playing, there was like one point where we just kept dying on this part. And David was like, fuck it. When I hit this thing and it falls, we're not going to try and hold out against the horde. We're all just like, because it was this part where you have to use a forklift to lift up and smash this thing so everyone can run out. And a horde comes at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And David was like, when that happens, we're all just running for it. We're going to run and we're going to shoot. It was just like in Dawn of the Dead where they're like running to the ammo store and shooting zombies as they're running. That's exactly what it's like. And he's like, if someone falls, we keep going. Because if one of us makes it to the safe room, we all do. And I remember I made it to the safe room, but by the time I made it there, I was like crawling. And I could see all their shadows of
them. That's what I like about
them still trying to make it. And I was like just looking through the safe room door. And I remember like I saw like Arthur coming. And David was like, don't open the door. I just watched him die like 10 feet away. Like, I could have opened the door and probably saved him. But David's like, it's not worth it for us all to
See,
die.
See, you screwed Arthur over many times last night.
There's an achievement for rescuing somebody after you've closed the door.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like if you close the door and somebody's down.
Yeah, jerk
and then
face.
You open the door and you go and save them and then you bring them back in with you, you get an achievement for it.
There's also one that I already got where if you have like less than... like 10 health points or something, like, and you revive your other player.
Oh yeah,
use their health, you know, your health pack on them, then you get an achievement.
That's
for that
a good one.
You get achievements for being a nice person.
Yeah, you do.
No, but I was gonna say
that's a fact.
I like how your character reflects how like healthy they are. You know, if you're in the red zone, you're you know, like
they're making the faces
and stuff. Yep. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, one person got pissed off at a Scooter for the One Up Show chat when he was talking about Left 4 Dead because he like gave it away that the movies weren't linked by an overall storyline. Mm. And like that just seemed like such a dumb thing to me. Like, I guess Scooter was saying at one point he thought all the movies were linked mm-hmm. by a storyline, which is like why the first movie ends with you getting rescued by a helicopter off mm-hmm. a roof, and then the second movie starts with you in a field. Was it supposed to be the helicopter crashes? Mm. Mm. But I actually think that it makes more sense for them to be like four separate,
completely separate things.
Mm. And, you know, and
because the point is that you get rescued at the end.
Yeah. And I think if it was like a progressive storyline that made sense, like it would just seem ridiculous because every time, yeah, it would be the same thing happening. Fight through zombies, big fat thing, fight at the end, and right. then you leave.
Right.
And it would just be like, it would make it seem more painful, well, and like repetitive.
And it's like, and I'm glad that they did it this way because it leaves it really open to expansion in the future. Yeah. Like they can always just make another movie and like have the
plus,
same.
I mean, as since it's a Source game,
yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to like, you know, the
mods.
Yeah, and the stuff that people
are already modding it.
I'm positive people are already modding, but I'm just saying, like, what's going to happen when I like get the you know, like the gravity gun from like Half-Life, and I'm like I'm like slinging like, you know, objects into the zombies and stuff
even
like that.
Well, there aren't, it didn't seem to me like there's that many objects in the game to sling.
But I'm just saying, once it's modded and you throw in saw blades everywhere or something like
that. Yeah. No, I was thinking like the super gravity gun, you know.
Pick up cars or something like that?
No, the super gravity gun that lets you pick up anything.
Oh, like
so you can like
zombies?
Pick up zombies and throw them at each other. Like, that would be the shit.
That would be fun.
I mean, you know, it's only a matter of time till we start seeing portals, people dancing around zombies through portals and stuff like
that.
Yeah, exactly. Getting past them like that. I mean, all that shit totally, I think, is interesting. And
make it happen,
yeah.
Listeners.
Oh, we'll play
it's
it.
It's a foregone conclusion,
yeah,
basically, I mean, with the Source game.
And it's going to be so badass.
So, I mean, that's one thing the PC version definitely will always have.
I got a PM from a guy, BitBlocker. Mm-hmm. And he said that, like, is it just me or is it like every time I see Zoe from Left 4 Dead, I actually see Zoe Castillo from Dreamfall?
Yeah.
Because they actually look like exactly
alike. I was actually thinking that.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, if you play Dreamfall.
Dreamfall is
it's an adventure
sequel
game
to
Longest Journey.
The Longest Journey, which was a famous like adventure game in the same vein as like the point and click LucasArts games. Did you ever play Longest Journey, Ryan?
I did not.
Man, you should go back and play. It's like $5 on Steam.
Longest Journey, like I played Dreamfall. Like I downloaded Dreamfall because I wanted to play it again.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I've never actually played Longest Journey. So I downloaded it and I played it. It doesn't really hold up.
It is hard to go back to, but I think someone like Ryan, who already just plays old games all the time anyways.
Oh, and, shit.
And who's like, you know, enamored with those point and click adventure games. I think Ryan might still find something in
it. You like text adventures too.
To be fair, it doesn't hold up as well though. You are right.
I mean, that.
I played Dreamfall and then after beating Dreamfall wanted to go back and play it, and it is
right.
It is very hard to go back.
And I really like Dreamfall.
But yeah, I mean, he's right. That character does look like it was designed exactly after the Zoe person.
Did you know that you could play Left 4 Dead in third person?
Yeah, see, that's what I heard from him, yeah.
Yeah, I got a private another private message from this guy Christopher Park. His handle on our site is Pikey1969. I think that might be when he's born. He's like an older dude.
Yeah, he's pretty regular poster.
He's like, you know, 3-5 years something older than me, so he's fucking old. I don't get to say that very often.
Oh man.
It's a console command that you can enable, and like it pulls the camera back, and you're totally playing in third person. Like he put up a video of it and everything, and it's actually really cool. I'm like, man, I totally want to play.
I guess
in
that makes sense because it does go to like third person.
Oh shit! Oh my god!
Had soundproofing fall right on
Tina's head.
This totally isn't going to work. We should just take this shit down.
Anyways.
Boy, there's another one about to come down, too.
I'm scared.
I knew that doesn't surprise me that you can play in third person only because, you know, you'd totally seen it, like, every time you get grabbed by a smoker or something like that since it switches out to third person.
Yeah.
So I guess it just kind of somehow uses some sort of similar camera command. I wonder how viable it is to play like that because it seems like it'd be totally awesome.
Dude, it looked totally awesome while he was playing it. It's a little bit buggy in that apparently you shoot just to the right of your crosshair. So you're not actually, so it's not actually correct, you know. Mm. And apparently the shotgun sounds don't work. When you're in third person. But I still think it would be fucking awesome to set up some kind of macro so that you could go back and forth between first and third person.
And you know what? Like my biggest thing about, sorry, I'm not really contributing to what you said.
At least he's honest. I'm just saying, I don't give a fuck.
Since when do we have to maintain a common thread?
Matt said everything there needed to be said about that. But I was just going to talk about one of the things that I really like about Left 4 Dead, besides, you know, fighting zombies and all that, was the idle mode. I know you guys talked about that on the 1UP show.
Yeah.
But like actually having used the idle mode now, like last night I was like, fuck, my sensitivity's all fucked up. And everyone's like, let's go. And I'm like, fine, idle. And
right.
I can sit there and fix my sensitivity. Like,
the AI is like, for you.
Yeah. And I mean, like, or like David got a phone call and instead of us having to all sit there and wait, it was like David just switched to idle. And then it was like, we just carried on.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. More games totally need, if they're so co-op centric as that one is.
Well, like, and like, but I, the AI is so good too. The AI is like a lot of times is better than people.
Yeah. There's definitely one time that, David purposefully dropped into idle because he was like, the only way you're going to get through this with my guy with only having 10 health is if my guy's AI.
Wow.
Because he'll keep shit off him.
Way better. That's cheating, man. That's messed up.
It's in the game.
It's not cheating.
It's not cheating.
It's dishonorable. So, that's how Ryan likes to play, though. Like, you told me that you're going to get, like, your Cheerios and stuff and, like, go back and forth playing and
idle. Being, he's just idle in between bites.
Yeah.
Shoots his zombies.
I thought you said
Cheerios and your Wonder Bread sandwiches.
At first, I totally thought you said, like, you told me that you're going to go into idle so you can go get laid.
Me? Yeah.
That's what it sounded like you said. No, it sounded like you said, but Ryan said that.
Oh, no. God. Damn.
Jesus, Ryan.
Ryan,
why don't you just talk about your sexual exploits?
Right.
Well.
Yeah.
Tiny Titans.
Ryan, have you been... Like, do you have any... When's the review of Wrath of Lich King roughly going up? Do you know?
Probably at the beginning of December.
That's unacceptable.
What the hell?
No, but how are you liking it so far?
It's good. I'm working up at Death Knight right now.
Oh, yeah? What level is he?
Right now, he's well, by the time people hear this, he will be level 66.
Woo-hoo. From 55 to 66 in like less than a week, you are a champ.
Well, they increase the amount of experience you get from Outland quests. And I'm using a leveling guide for this purpose just to go quickly. Since I've already cleared all these quest circuits and stuff, I just want to get to Northrend. So, and you know, it'd be kind of a disservice to the review if I didn't
play Death Knight.
But yeah, you know. Yeah. And so
are you also playing your hunter, like getting it up to 80?
I haven't done anything with him yet. I mean, I bought all my professions up, but that's it.
I got my mage to 75 last night.
Nice.
Yeah, Northrend is awesome.
How does that work when you do a progression, like a trade skills with a Death Knight? Like, isn't it really hard for them to do it since they're already 55?
Yeah.
You basically have to shell a ton of money in the auction house.
They start you off with 270 first aid and nothing else. So you have to start all your trade skills from zero.
I haven't done
anything other than first aid yet, but that'll be like after I get to 80.
I was going
to
say, yeah, I mean, I guess maybe if you had a ton of money to dump into a character early on, you could buy a bunch of shit. But yeah.
The Death Knight is awesome so far, though.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, have you been using it in any instances or that sort of thing?
I haven't done any instances yet.
Just all solo questing?
It's all been. I think I'm going to probably wait until Northrend for that and then do the instances there.
But I hate you so much.
I'm so sorry.
What?
This bow is good, though.
It looks good. Why didn't you get me one? What the fuck?
It's Ryan's fault.
The hell? We're here, me and Tina, drinking boba tea, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, tapioca.
The best stuff ever. So if it's like, if you hear like slurping sounds, that's Tina.
Oh, so, God.
Oh, God. Well,
there goes more soundproofing.
nice.
So,
oh,
and
man,
I play...
this room is fucking... I can totally hear it getting echoier, too.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, you're playing your special game.
Yeah, I play on a PvP server, and
that's cool.
It's so interesting. Like when I'm playing my hunter and I get jumped by somebody just randomly, it's usually like a foregone conclusion. Like I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, surprise does not favor a hunter. But there's been times when some people of equal level have gotten a jump on me with my Death Knight, and I've completely destroyed them. The Death Knight just feels so much more powerful. Mm. You know, he can kind of adapt to those kinds of situations a lot more
nice
easily. So that's been pretty cool. And I also, this is probably going to go into a bit of like nerdy minutia, but I found this awesome bug the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any, well, maybe I shouldn't say it because
I was going to say,
nobody knows about this.
I was going to say, and exploiting bugs is a bannable offense.
It is. It's a bannable offense.
Exploiting bugs is like
a violation of your terms of service.
Well, I'm not, I found it purely by accident. I tested it to make
sure. And then you reported it.
I did not report it yet. I'm reporting it right now.
Well, if anyone wants to know the bug, you should PM Ryan. Be like,
well, let's just say I need
this big bug.
I found a way to kill opposing players in neutral cities with impunity.
Oh, well, didn't somebody already figure that out though?
When I found it, I looked around on the forums and stuff, and nobody had been talking about it yet.
Wow.
So, but
all right. Well, now everybody's going to do it. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if it works on PvE because I play in a PvE server.
I'm sure it's probably it's all PvP because it's predicated on being able to target other players and attack them.
Oh, I see.
I probably shouldn't say what it is, but if it's not known yet, then hey, go experiment with some stuff.
See how many honor points you can build up.
See how many times the guards kill you in neutral towns.
I wanted to ask you a question, Anthony, before I forgot. Have you guys been able to kill a witch yet? Like straight up before she
Left for dead.
Touches you?
We have all the time, but normally when it happens, we do it as a group. We see her and we all like
headshot, right?
Or we just all roll up and just let loose on her real quick.
Because it was funny, because last night when we were playing, remember there was one on top of the escalator?
Yeah.
And we were all going to get ready and like plan to attack her at once, but then you just said, fuck it, and you ran up the escalator all by yourself. And you took the beating and you fell.
Yeah, because like, I knew the rest of you would kill her before she got to anyone.
That was just really funny. I thought we could kill her before you had to sacrifice yourself.
I mean,
that was just one part in the game where I was just like busting up.
There are times that people manage. I mean, you can like with the sniper rifle, it can definitely like, I mean, no one ever takes that because it's like such a hard weapon to like use effectively.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have heard that you can one shot like basically every monster except for a tank with a sniper rifle. So.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I don't know how you would use that in that game.
The sniper rifle?
Yeah.
Like, I picked it up real quick and was, like, checking out the zoom, but it is, like...
It's intense.
I don't know how you'd use that, because it's not like the zombies run straight at you. They do sidestep and stuff a little bit.
When the AI director decides to be an asshole and send a horde of them after you, what are you going to do then?
Pull out your double pistols, I guess, okay, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like shotgun and machine guns. Those are the only two weapons to have.
So, assault rifle is good.
Yep.
So normally we've been doing the thing where we check out an article each week. And
this week's
came from Sean Elliott, but it wasn't really an article.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
It was just a website for, I think the website is digitalpraise.com. And it's a website that sells all like Christian video game software. And so the specific thing Sean linked us to was, what was it called? Guitar Praise?
Yeah.
Guitar Praise, which is basically like Guitar Hero, but featuring such Christian hits as songs from the band Skillet.
And, I have no idea.
I had no idea either, but it has like this...
This is all religious music.
It has like this...
Christian music, actually, this four-minute infomercial.
And it is like...
It has a four-minute infomercial? I didn't even
like
see
on
that.
The website, yeah. There's like that video that plays.
Yeah, I thought that was just a trailer.
No,
it goes on
for a long time.
Oh my God.
And the crazy thing is like, I don't understand how that isn't like patent infringement. Like, or is it just that they're too small for like, you know, Activision to care or something like that?
Yeah, because I don't know.
It is like...
The guitar looks similar.
The guitar not only
exactly
looks similar, but then you see the game and the game is all about scrolling like guitar notes and stuff like that. And they even have the battle modes and stuff that are like straight ripped off of Guitar Hero like 3. Like I couldn't believe it. Like,
yeah, it makes you wonder if it's just too small or if the patents that they obviously have on their IP or do you patent IP or do you?
Yeah, I don't know, because I guess then maybe they, why don't Rock Band and Guitar Hero get into fights about it?
Well, that was an agreement when Rock Band sold the Guitar Hero franchise to. Activision.
Oh,
yeah.
So Harmonix and MTV, they maintained, you know, their ownership.
Yeah, see,
of what they were doing.
I'm imagining these people are probably infringing on copyrights, but my guess is that it's just too small for people to care.
Yeah.
I mean, it's PC only. It's sad that like All the Christian software is all PC only. Like, right. I'm assuming licensing and all that's probably got to be a pretty big...
There were Christian NES cartridges.
No, I know. There was Bible Adventures. I remember Bible Adventures.
The Bible Buffet.
Bible Adventures where you had to carry around sheep the whole time, and then you would occasionally find, like, what looked like the Ten Commandments, and it would be, like, a Bible verse.
What?
Yeah, so, Bible Adventures.
It makes me wonder if it's, like, if it would be hard to license religious software, Christian or not, to, you know, Microsoft and Sony.
I gotta imagine that there's gotta... They don't do it. Like, yeah, I don't know.
They're like, we don't want to touch this.
Yeah, I gotta imagine that it's probably just like opening up too much of a can of worms for them. Yeah.
I said the dumbest thing ever, too. Like, what was it? When we first saw it?
You were like...
yeah, because Anthony sits behind me. Like, our backs face each other. And mm-hmm. so when he was looking at it on his computer, I looked at it and I was like, oh, I'm not going to play that shit unless it has Matis Yahoo on it. And then and he just kind of shook his head and looked at me like, what the fuck? And he was like, he's a Jew. I was like, oh, that's right.
Just like Jesus. Matis Yahoo is a Jew.
Totally forgot. Ryan, you're looking at me like with a blank stare. You don't get it?
Huh? You explained all this to me before.
But the other games that I thought that were kind of the other game that was like particularly interesting off of Digital Praise was Dance Praise, which was basically Dance yeah. Revolution.
Wow!
Except it's PC based and they could do 10 players at once.
Holy
fuck!
Like,
it was like $2,500 for the 10 player pack.
Wow! But, what?
Yes.
Clearly designed for Christian youth camps.
$2,500.
How much is the one player pack?
I don't know. Probably like $200 a bit.
Yeah.
So it's like if we want to just.
So it comes with a dance pad and everything?
Yeah. And the dance pad is like 3 inches thick. It's like made of this like crazy weird material that they were so proud of. Basically, wow, and it actually comes with a small sliver of the Christ of Jesus inserted in the pad.
Shut up.
That's
so mean.
So this is like one of the things that always fascinates me is when somebody co-ops something that they're historically in opposition to and turns it to their own in order to continue to de-emphasize what they consider the negative parts of what they're co-opting. So it's like, you know, mm-hmm. rock and roll and dancing. Those are not Christian things to do way back.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, if you're talking
it
if you're talking
on each
about
denomination too.
It does.
We can get into that shit. We can bust it down, can't we?
Yeah.
Calvinists don't like to dance.
Right.
Oh god.
Right? Anthony can help me with this.
But I'm just saying, well, but I think Matt's speaking more like in a greater general sense. I mean, like,
I'm speaking more of the history of American Puritanism, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I mean
in the you know, it's That's the music of Satan, you know. Anything that comes from the lower classes is usually deemed as something that's inappropriate.
The pagans,
you know, it's like rock and roll came. You know, the history of rock and roll means that it's not appropriate for good white Christians to listen to.
Right, and I mean, even like for years, I mean, you heard all those people speaking out about first person shooters like Doom and stuff. Nowadays, I've seen news stories on like Time and stuff like that about like Christian youth camps using Halo 3 as like a way to get younger teens together to learn about God and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't
know about that.
Yeah. I mean, just using video games in general, and especially like they know what people like. I mean, I think Christians in general over like the past 20 years have been like really hardcore about like, if they like rock music, let's make rock music, but make it Christian rock music.
Right.
If they like video games, like, let's find a way to put a Christian spin on video game things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That just goes to show you that a medium itself is completely amoral. You know, a medium isn't a form of judgment of any kind. So whether you're talking about video games or rock and roll, it can be turned into whatever you want to turn it into. So if you're Christian, you know, and you want to do rock music, there you go. Now you have your game. As long as it doesn't get shut down by Activision.
I wonder what like goes through their heads, or, you know, like, especially PR, when you figure out, you know, that there's a game out there that's copying, you know, your product. Like, do you shut it down?
Yeah.
Especially if it has religious, like,
I got to tell you that it probably comes down to like a math equation.
Totally.
It's like something totally like Fight Club, where he was like, if we do a recall of this, is it more money than what's going to cost us in insurance from lawsuits? Right. I guarantee you that they're like, if we sue this company and take them to court, like, is the press we're going to get from suing like a religious group / the amount of money the legal thing's going to cost us more than like the money we're going to get by suing the shit out of these people?
And I'm sure, like, you know, the church denominations behind a game like this will, you know,
Yeah, I'm sure they
condemn or whatever.
It would be a media explosion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess in a lot of ways, it's kind of just bad taste.
Yeah, because
much like the game itself.
Yeah.
Oh. No Matus Yahoo. That's why I'm not gonna play it.
I don't know, man. I've listened to plenty of Christian rock in my day when I worked at the surf shop. That my boss would only let us listen to music if it was purchased at the Christian store.
Really?
Yeah, he was pretty hardcore. It was a privately owned store, so
right, of course. And
I can, in general, say that most of it is pretty goddamn terrible. I think even Jesus himself would come back and be like,
really?
Would be like, really? This is what it's come to. Thinly veiled songs where you say you instead of just using my name. What the fuck? Anyways.
Oh, you're gonna get hate for that.
I'm gonna get hate for that. Whatever.
Like that South Park episode. Faith plus one.
Yeah, exactly.
when Cartman decides he's gonna make a Christian group and all they do is like take classic love songs and exchange
like
Jesus.
Like you
for
or you. Baby for Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you know that the Catholic Church has a... I forgot the exact name of it, but they have...
A ministry of video games?
Do they?
No.
No, they have like this list that of like things and books that Catholics aren't allowed to read.
Oh, yeah, that's been around.
What's it called?
I can't think of what it's called either off the top of my head, but yeah, it's been around for forever, and I guarantee you video games are on that.
Yeah.
Books are on it, movies are on it.
Yep.
I mean,
I was sad books, when they put Harry period. Potter on it.
Yeah, books in general.
Of course, they put Harry Potter on it. And it deals with magic.
Made me sad.
Yeah,
that was one of the things. Like when I first got into D&D when I was in middle school, and I was raised Catholic and my mother was Catholic. We weren't like super hardcore religious or whatever, but D&D was definitely one of the things that I wasn't supposed to get involved in.
Really?
Yeah, because you know it's
so harmless.
Yeah, but it's at the time it wasn't. People thought really negatively of it, not just because of the nerd stereotypes, but because of like those supposed D&D related murders. Mm-hmm. And so it was it got classified in a lot of religious institutions, including the Catholic religious institution, as something that involved demonic worship, you know, because it had like the gods and the goddesses and things like that. So it was like false idols. And
you should have just played Call of Cthulhu instead.
Yeah, exactly.
See how you felt about that.
No, she wouldn't like, oh, you've been playing that, you know, that octopus game.
Totally reminds me of that moment in time when I bought Diablo 2 and my dad wouldn't let me play it.
Aww, fuck. Bummer.
That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because Diablo is devil.
I guess, but did you tell your dad you kill the devil? That's what you should tell him.
Yeah, you
that.
Kill the devil.
Then we had this conversation.
Actually, you sort of become the devil. Yeah, we did have this conversation. Yeah.
And there's no, like, actually, like, heavenly... whatever. Anyways, let's move on.
So one other thing I want to bring up that I got in a private message was, remember how we were talking about our article from last week?
And
we were making fun of anti-gravity urine and everything like that. and thanks to the gold chocolates.
The blue.
So Moose Waffles sent me a message. Says, as a recently graduated male nurse, I feel qualified to clear up a few of the terms with which you were unfamiliar. Even though I know if you really cared, you could just click the links on the wiki article, which is totally true. Like, I obviously didn't care. specific gravity, basically, is a measurement of the concentration of urine. Crystalluria means literally crystals in the urine. In this case, melamine crystals.
Had that.
And
dude,
as...
shut up.
You had crystals
don't
in
lie
urine.
About that stuff.
I'm not lying.
No,
it's a true story.
Doesn't all urine have like a certain amount of crystals in it? And
yeah,
like when you get too many, it's bad.
And too much can be bad. Yes.
Right. And then, and he said, and as awesome it would mean if it meant witch's blood, occult actually means hidden. Thus, occult blood means that there's blood in the urine which is not visible to the human eye, but is determined to be present upon some sort of testing, as opposed to frank blood, which is blood that is notably present upon visual inspection, i.e., red piss. So there you go. Now we actually know what was involved in that whole Wikipedia entry.
I totally spaced out.
That's because you're totally high right now.
I am, dude. Oh, my God. That's why I needed to get boba. I was so hungry.
Boba munchies. That's a new one.
That's the other reason we put soundproofing up on Jeff's windows so no one could see in here. So that we would better stop all the airflow and circulation.
It smells good.
Well, Ryan is all about hotboxing. So Ryan doesn't like to actually inhale the smoke himself, but he doesn't mind if it's in the room and he gets a secondary off of it.
Oh, that's why you wanted Tina to get you those brownies.
Yeah.
From the co-op.
Ryan's down for
edibles.
For getting high, just as long as it's through other means as opposed to.
You gotta protect those lungs.
He says the most ridiculous things too. Like when we were walking to go get boba today, he told me that I like plain things and that I was boring or something like that. And that's coming from Ryan Scott, the guy who only eats like dry chicken and white rice.
Well, you know.
I was like, damn, that's a big insult.
What was the?
It doesn't make it untrue
in your mind, Ryan.
Huh?
Yeah. All that shit we said about pot, by the way, with Ryan is completely untrue.
And yeah. Tina and me, I don't.
No, you're totally high all the time
with Ryan.
Heck,
it was all untrue. But I'm kind of curious though. Now that we bring it up, Ryan, like what would you say the most adventurous thing
you've ever eaten
was?
Yeah. I've ever eaten.
Yeah, you know, like me, I've tried like
red Jell-O. Huh?
At some point,
is
I've tried
red Jell-O. Yeah.
At some point, I've tried I've tried like alligator. And I've tried
when I was in, I went to China and I ate a sea cucumber. You guys got to look that shit up.
I know what a sea cucumber is.
It's so nasty. I thought it was, someone told me it was a vegetable. I was like, what the hell? And it was floating. No. It was brown and it was in this red sauce. Disgusting. When I took a bite out of it, it like exploded in my mouth. I'm like, this is a weird vegetable. It's so nasty.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, like
it's the most adventurous thing I've ever done.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of people have eaten frog legs. I mean, frog legs isn't exactly your normal thing to eat. I mean, you know, like what? Like an octopus? You ever had octopus?
It's called squid?
A taco.
I had a taco.
Have you ever had lengua?
What? I don't even
come
know
on, you come
is.
From Madeira.
Lengua.
Madeira.
You know, cow tongue.
Yeah, cow tongue.
Ew, no.
Pig's
yeah,
feet.
Lengua, lengua.
I come from Madeira. I moved out of there when I was two.
Okay, come on. Let him talk, Ryan.
Lengua is, it's tongue. I mean, it's very good traditional beef thing. Like, I'm a vegetarian, but back in the day, it was like lengua was a common thing. Or, you know,
so
you ever had head cheese?
Like,
no.
No.
Chocolate milk?
Yeah.
No, come on.
What's the most adventurous thing I've ever eaten?
Yeah, there was never something you were like sitting there with a fork in front of your face and you were just like, I'm going to do this. And you were like, oh, it was terrible. But, you know, you still ate it.
Well, wait.
Plenty of vegetables. I don't like broccoli.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
We're talking about like it. That's not adventurous.
It's not adventurous.
Well, I will grab broccoli straight out of the ground and put it in my mouth and chew on it. That's how delicious it is.
That's how ghetto Anthony is. No, that's what no, come on, Ryan. Like,
I don't know. You're
crazy.
It's been a long time since I've had to eat weird things against my will.
Do you even eat seafood? I don't think
we
you
need
do.
Seafood. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I've eaten like you know crab or lobster,
clams
or
and stuff.
I mean, crabs and lobster. When you think about it, are kind of weird. They're like the insects of the sea.
Yeah.
So
I don't like crab because I like crab, but I just don't. It's too much work.
There was never that part when you were watching like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. You were like, man, I want to eat out some beetles. I want to eat some beetles and like.
Some live snake
babies. Yeah, a giant snake and eat.
No, I never considered that.
Or like frozen monkey brains.
Yeah, monkey brain. Which one was that?
Soup.
The one with the cookie.
It's still the Temple of Doom.
Oh shit!
All the same meal. Monkey brains were the were the.
Oh, and the eyeballs.
Eyeballs are supposedly really good for you.
I hear that as well.
Why? What would be good for you about
fuck
eyeballs?
If I know. I mean,
a ton of protein.
Explain this to me.
I think some Greek people think that it makes you smarter if you. Eyeballs.
It makes you see better if you eat carrots.
Anyways, I hate you, Ryan.
We all agree that the craziest thing Ryan's eaten was
broccoli.
Wheat bread.
I would have to think about it. I don't know. Like for anybody who's missing the context here, I'm a very picky eater.
Yeah. Okay. Where do we go?
I'll eat cheese pizza. I'll go to Subway and I'll get a turkey sandwich with cheese. And tomatoes and like mustard and mayonnaise.
Have you ever had avocado?
Yeah, I like avocado.
Okay.
Where did we go? We went to Long Life Noodle or something the other day, and all you got was noodles, right? Like plain,
just noodles,
straight up noodles.
No, I mean Ryan's gotten like I've
with
seen
broth.
Like we went to Thai food and like everyone else got some crazy sauced up dish, and Ryan's would come and it would just look like regular pan fried chicken sitting
and
on rice,
string beans, yeah.
So, I mean,
I get very simple food.
Did it have broccoli?
No.
So other games that have that I guess we could talk about, or at least I can talk about.
Moving
that,
on from Ryan's picky eating.
Yeah, that are like more up to date in the term of things is
Dawn.
Yeah, I checked out Dawn of War 2. Mm-hmm.
Nice. How was that?
It was cool. Flew down to THQ, took like an hour long cab ride to their office.
Really? Where are they?
In Agoura Hills.
Oh shit!
So it's like
that's south, right?
Yeah, it's around Burbank and LA and all that, Yeah, it was pretty interesting, you know.
I'm from Southern California, and Agoura Hills is one of those places that you always hear about, but you don't ever really know where it is.
Right. As far as I could tell, it didn't seem like anybody
like
would...
Oz.
Anybody. Yeah. It didn't seem like anyone would live there. It was like mostly it looked like industrial buildings. Oh. Like it just seemed like the cheap place where people buy real estate to have businesses.
Gotcha.
Did you witness the fire at all, or was there
no,
a smoke
you could
or anything?
You could see smoke and like a haze over the whole area, but I couldn't tell if that was like... as much smoke as it was smog. I mean, you know, because there's kind of always a haze down in the LA area.
Yeah.
But apparently it was, like, particularly bad. The air quality was not, like, healthy to be breathing or something like that.
Yep.
So you checked out the game?
Yeah, I got, sat in a room for 4 hours all by myself, like, with, like, it'd be like us being in this room right here, except there's one computer and I'm playing and you guys are all just watching me play.
Shit, and, it's like a game testing session.
Yeah, right. Like it wasn't like a because I'd missed the press event where everyone went. Mm-hmm. So it was just me with these guys and they would like they were like, "Oh, we just like to watch and basically see how I do everything different as a
they
person
like
that doesn't
to
play."
Watch Anthony.
Or they would just like be like we're going to go get lunch, see you in a bit, and I'd just be sitting in this conference room by myself.
Whoa.
Playing Dawn of War. So, I mean,
they were lying. They were still breathing down your neck. Like,
they were like watching me through hair. A camera. that's probably embarrassing. I'm sure I was like, I remember every time they'd leave the room, I'd like dawdle with something else and just be like, check my phone. do like all the things.
So
I
you
felt.
Weren't interested in the game?
No, it wasn't that I wasn't interested in the game. It was just that I had.
Did you feel any pressure to perform while they were watching?
I did, as a matter of fact, because when I, it's funny that you would say that, because when I play Company Heroes, I'm sure a lot of people are going to think I'm weird. I know, but I know Rory does this as well, and Rory's really good. It's like when I play, I don't use the mouse to move the camera around, mm-hmm. like a lot of people do in RTS. I use the arrow keys, because I don't use hotkeys at all when I play Company Heroes, except for like telling it to attack or queuing up orders, I'll use keys. But right. I always use the arrow keys to look around, so I'm like sitting here with the arrow keys and the mouse, and I'm sure to them that look, they were like, what?
You play Dawn of War that way?
Yeah, Dawn of War is a little bit harder because there are so many specific abilities to each unit that you constantly have to be using, like the Q and W buttons and stuff like that. But yeah, I still play Dawn of War mostly that way. I mean, and Dawn of War is a fantastic looking game. Like I'm pretty sure it uses DirectX 10 stuff, just like Company Heroes does with the engine. Mm-hmm. And it basically takes like all the cool stuff about Company Heroes, like destructible terrain and all that, and applies it to an over-the-top Warhammer universe. Which
oh, right.
I was all about. I mean, I don't think a lot of people like that listen to our show. Like, there will be like half people that'll be interested and half people that could give a crap less because they're convinced it's just like a knockoff of other RTSs are coming out there. But this game will be absolutely like, despite the fact that it has Space Marines and despite the fact that it has Tyranids, which look a lot like a Zerg.
Oh.
You know, even though Tyranids existed long before Zerg did.
Pretty much everything that's in a Blizzard game of any kind existed long before a Blizzard game.
Right, before they just came and made it, like, they just were lucky enough to ingrain it in people's minds in a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that Dawn of War is, like, so completely different. Like, you know, StarCraft is still very much about, like, building the right combination of a mob and sending it at another mob and overwhelming another mob. Like, in Dawn of War, like, I don't know about the multiplayer yet, but in the single player, there's no building at all. It's just you deploy with four squads ahead of time and then you pick and you'll have more than four squads. Mm-hmm. So then you'll like say like, you'll be like, you'll tailor your army beforehand. Like I want to take these four sergeants and their respective units with me. You'll land with those and then you can reinforce from specific points in the map. But other than that, it's managing those four squads and their specific weapons and abilities that you've equipped them with in a way that is like, it's basically like playing a series of small skirmishes and having to like micromanage them in a very special way, but not micromanaging them like in the intense way that like a turn-based game is. It's still very on the fly and stuff like that. But
yeah,
so you can change their abilities each squad.
Yeah, you can customize them by because they gain levels, and then it's like it has like a very rudimentary like version of like a WoW or every other MMORPG skill tree. put like 2 points in it, eventually they'll get like this ability. Mm-hmm. But that's all customizable up to you, because you're not going to be able to get them all.
Well, and then do they have to stay alive to get those abilities, or is it applied to your armies as a whole?
No, it's specifically tailored to specific like squad leaders.
Wow.
So, and they won't ever permanently die, as long as like if the whole squad dies, then the sergeant will be on the ground and you can revive him. Oh, so okay. It's like they really wanted to emphasize the fact that you like start the game and end the game with the same group of guys that you played with, instead of like the old Dawn of Wars, where like when you built Space Marines, you would just send them to their death. Which I guess bothered a lot of people, because I'm about to be really nerdy, but in the 40K universe, like there's basically nothing that should be able to kill a Space Marine. Like
really?
When a Space Marine dies, it's like a big deal, because Space Marines most of the time fight for centuries. It's not like they just do like a term of service. It's like they're permanently like integrated in their armor, and they fight for hundreds of years. And then even after they die, sometimes they get brought back and put in these machines to fight, like, which are the equivalent of like a, what are those units called in StarCraft? No, the thing where, you know, the most famous unit from like the Protoss army that everyone used. I can't even think, why am I spacing?
Yeah, Zealots.
No.
What are you talking?
Like when a Zealot died in StarCraft, the idea was they would come back as a, like, what are those things called?
Oh, I wish I could help.
Fuck, why am I spacing? People are like hitting stop right now because they're
Well, I'm sure somebody will let you know what it is.
Yeah. And they'll be like, bitch, Anthony, this is what it was.
But yeah, it's just basically so Space Marines are like, you know, so in this game, they really wanted to emphasize the fact that Space Marines are like so tough. That's why you can't build new guys, and like, you can reinforce at certain points, but when you lose like an individual, like it takes a lot of punishment before you lose like an individual guy from a squad. Mm-hmm. And when you lose him, you feel it, because you're like, mm-hmm. you'll notice significantly less power is like present in that unit and that sort of thing.
Is it Archon?
You know, the guys that say like, I have returned when you use them, you know, and in the new StarCraft 2, there's two versions of them. There's one that's like a heavy weapons one, and there's one that's made from the Dark Templars that can transport itself.
Yeah.
They're four-legged totally little spider-looking things in the Protoss army. What the fuck are those called?
I can see the graphics on the screen in my head.
God,
I was never
the biggest
big
failure
enough
of a piece of podcast I've ever heard in my life.
They're like movable cannons.
Yes, they are like movable cannons.
I was never a big enough StarCraft player.
But yeah, I mean,
which I kind of regret.
I just think that they've done a great job with actually making like Space Marines feel as powerful as they were supposed to be without making the game feel like
broken.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm still curious how it's going to work in multiplayer, because I've heard in multiplayer there's still going to be like a building aspect to it. Hmm. Like,
really?
You're still going to have to build some sort of base, because mm-hmm. otherwise it's kind of like, I don't know, not quite fair to just like, the battles would be short and not very interesting or something mm-hmm. like that. But I just think that they've done a great job with like making, it's like the first game, like the preview I wrote, which will be up on Thursday as well. The whole thing I was emphasizing was like, to me, Dawn of War was like a totally different change of pace and like an evolution for RTS, in the sense that like you had to control specific points, and it just added like a lot of tactics with having like a terrain that adds like benefits of cover and stuff like that. Mm. Company Heroes took that a step further with the ability to like retreat, so that you actually had to think about keeping units alive.
Yeah.
Because in Dawn of War, you just let units die all the time. It
right.
didn't even matter. But
right.
This game takes it like even one step further than that, because in Company Heroes, you still like were like sad in a sense when a unit died, because you were like, fuck, that was like a really veteraned unit.
Right.
And you'd invested a lot in them.
Yeah.
But I actually think that this new Dawn of War will be different, because there's like a little bit of an emotional investment almost in the characters, because not only like have you been tailoring like their specific leveling abilities and stuff to what your exact needs are, but you actually, they all do have such a distinct personality that it's kind of like, I don't know. Like,
so do they have a personality that's related only to a storyline, or do they have a personality?
Yeah, it's kind of like related to the storyline, and it's like related to the type of character they play. Like,
right.
It isn't like you have two sets of Marines that all do the same thing, but they have two distinct sergeants. I mean, like the scout guy is very much written like the way you would imagine the scout guy is, or something like that. And then like a, you know, the heavy weapons dude is like a heavy weapons dude that runs with the heavy weapons squad.
Oh, sandwich.
Exactly. Nom, it nom, is nom. Totally like that. Yeah. And so it is like a, but you know, it's just got that like added level that makes you care about them, I guess, a little bit more than, you know, and because you're sitting there investing time and outfitting them the way that you want to outfit them and stuff like
right.
that, it does tie into like, and you can retreat now in that game as well. So it throws in like that extra bit of investment where you like, you're not willing to let them totally get right. in over their heads and just.
Well, that makes sense to me, because that's how you develop an attachment to your character in any game that has RPG aspects to it, is the fact that you were the one that was, you know,
right.
raising them to be what
right,
they
that's
are.
What I'm saying. Yeah, you're going to have the same guys throughout the whole thing. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I just think it adds like a certain attachment that's been lacking in a lot of RTS games.
And for those of us that are too nerdy to have children, then, you know, we'll have RTSs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I should for RTSs for years when I used to play the old Myth, the Fallen Lord games that Bungie used to make before they started wasting their time on Halo.
I got my ass
I played the shit out of Halo, but I love Myth the Fallen Lords. Like, I would give anything for Bungie to go back and
I got my ass kicked so hard in the Myth games.
They were
like, all the time.
The multiplayer was like, oh, and even the single player was a kick.
I never played multiplayer. Yeah. The single player kicked my ass too much.
The single player is that was another game where you couldn't build. You had the set amount of units starting out. But one thing I loved about that game was the same thing that I think this Dawn of War game will provide in that you carried units over between levels, and specifically in the Bungie games, you could name guys. So I would always like name all my warriors after me and my friends.
Nice.
And it'd be sad when you'd see like Ryan Scott fall. You know, Ryan Scott had been with you throughout the whole campaign, and then all of a sudden Ryan Scott falls to his death of an axe of like something stupid. Yeah, but yeah. Dawn of War is looking pretty good. We're supposed to check out multiplayer really soon, which I'm curious about.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's also more Company Heroes content that I can't talk about for this week. But
when's Dawn of War supposed to come out?
Dawn of War is supposed to come out in February, I believe, is what they said. So
not too far off then.
Yeah, and it's cool to have an early like first quarter release like that, because I don't know, too many games just fall into the fall, and that's it.
I totally agree.
You know what I wanted to ask you about? So I saw you playing World at War on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
I stick with 4?
There's supposed to be a review going up for the PC one with the sidebar. It should be up by the time this goes up. And basically, like, I still think the PC one deserves the exact same score that we all gave it, which is a B.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess it comes down to what you like. Like, the PC one is, like, the multiplayer can be, like, more fun, I guess, if you want. Like, you know, in the Xbox and PS3 versions, you can do 12 players. In the PC one, you'll see matches with 48 players at once.
Oh, yeah?
And that actually lends itself kind of to some of the maps, like some of the bigger maps with like tanks in it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy when there's like 48 players and kind of almost feels like a World War II battle scene you see in a movie. Like, you'll see people along a big line of rubble and they're all firing their bolt-action rifles and there will be one tank that'll break through.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Middle.
Yeah, and you know, and it, with 48 people, like 24 on a side, it's definitely like you're covered. There's action going on all over the map instead of like... Right. Six people running around, and it's very like spread out.
Do you feel like it's too overwhelming? Like there's too many players? Do you feel like you're actually in the action?
See, that's the thing, is that on some maps, like that big one with the tanks, it's fine. But then there are smaller maps where you can tell it was like tailored more for like less than 20 players, where you're just like, you spawn die.
No, I was going to say, it's like I always thought that too many, unless you were in a game like Tribes that, you know, you had...
The battlefields are epically large.
Yeah, epically huge.
Yeah.
I always thought that if you had more than, you know, like 12 players in a game or whatever, it'd be too many. But then I got really into the Battlefield games. And yeah, they had some epically huge maps as well, but they did have some smaller, like, urban-based maps, and it totally can work.
The map has to be built for it, and that's the thing, is some of these Call of Duty maps feel like they were made for large battles. Like thinking of the PC version, but you don't play them that way in the 360. Yeah. And then some of them feel like they were made for small groups.
Well, I imagine it'd be frustrating too. Like if, let's say, like one team's dominating and everyone, like there might be four people that get, you know, the dogs, and you have to wait like a long time to call them, right?
Oh yeah, it gets
frustrating.
Like when you're playing the PC version and there's that many players, pretty much always artillery or dogs going on.
Yeah, and
I expect
that, like, if you're on the losing side, like, there's dogs being called, like, every, you know, one after the other, like, that would suck.
Yeah, it does get pretty lopsided like that. I mean, it really comes down to, like, I would still play Call of Duty 4. That's what I still plan on playing as far as, like, a multiplayer shooter like
PC,
that when I get tired of Left 4 Dead. But
no Team Fortress?
No, I haven't played Team Fortress in a long time. I like Team Fortress. It's just that it's like...
That's the only shooter that Ryan will play with us.
I've never gotten, like, too addicted to it. But
try Left 4 Dead.
Call of Duty 5 is like
it's
good, it's fun and all that, but and it's still fun, like being able to, like, on the PC version to like pick the exact server and the exact map you want to play and all that. Like, those are things that I still miss on the PC version, is not being able to see like a selectable server list.
Yeah.
Make a favorites list of like places you know that you like to go because they have good rules and stuff like that.
Which are all things that consoles still haven't figured out how to do well.
Yeah, they aren't. And at the same time, I think that like nowadays people are convinced that console players don't want that or something, because everyone's just doing like matchmaking this, right. that. It's just like we want it to be two button presses and you can play multiplayer.
Right, which is fine. But I mean, I would still like the other option, because especially with a, you know, like Left 4 Dead has dedicated servers. Mm-hmm. So that means that now that they've opened Pandora's box to allow dedicated servers for multiplayer games, that means that you could potentially find a dedicated server that works really well for you over others, and it would be nice to be able to favorite it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be nice if instead of people just thinking of, as far as console games, as far as like matchmaking being the answer, if it would be like matchmaking and the other option, like for people that want it easy or they don't want to think about it, it's there. And for people like us who are like willing to take the time and find in like,
right.
Or maybe it's even a server that, you know, is always empty and you can just go in and play with your friends. Like,
right.
Like, you know, those are some of the benefits, I guess, that PC still has.
Yep.
So not to mention mods. I think that's the big thing for Left 4 Dead. That's why I'm glad I got it on PC.
Yeah. So looking forward to that shit.
Well, one of the points in our Left 4 Dead review is just, like the how much the 360 version is going to be supported versus the PC version.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if
you say like it'd be cool to have, you know, new movies and stuff, mm-hmm. which I like, it'd be silly
to not think that it'll happen.
Yeah, on the PC version. Who knows what'll happen with the 360?
Oh, I'm sure it'll happen on the 360 version only because.
Look at Team Fortress 2. Like that game got screwed on the 360.
Well, right. That's because it sucked on the 360.
It did suck on the 360, and it just felt like it was like I can already tell Left 4 Dead from what I've seen feels like it was made thinking of the console versions much more than Team Fortress ever was. And I just think that there's like a way bigger market for them to make money off of selling map packs for the 360 version than there is like off of selling map packs for Team Fortress. I mean. Team Fortress wasn't a retail release all on its own or anything like that either. So
yeah, I Team Fortress really does feel like it was included in the orange box because they thought, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
and Left 4 Dead is, you know, it's Left 4 Dead. I think Left 4 Dead feels to me like Valve's first super serious console effort. You know, like they planned it that way from the start, or at least soon enough into the game that
development occurred like simultaneously rather than like, oh, we finished the PC version, shove that shit on the console.
Right. they do it the way that an EA or an Ubi does it when they do simultaneous, you know, releases across various consoles, is that they did it that way. And I think I think that shows. And Team Fortress clearly wasn't that way. Team Fortress is like, it's laggy as shit on console. It really needed dedicated servers. And the fact that you could only play like teams of six, you know, that doesn't even give you one of every class. So Team Fortress was a far inferior product on the 360. It wasn't even worth supporting. Nobody plays it. There's never anybody playing Team Fortress on 360.
Balls.
Wow. Lame.
Dude, balls.
Boomer. Awesome. I like the Boomer. He's my favorite. Because I like,
you like puking on
I
people?
Like green and he pukes green stuff.
Bettina also hates fat people, so she's torn between loving the Boomer and hating him.
I'm looking at you like I want to kill you.
Anyways, I think we're
done.
Yep.
Yeah.
All wrapped up.
All right. Well, hopefully next week we won't have like shit falling on Tina's head.
Yeah. Next week, everyone will hopefully have thrown in some more games.
And- I was oh, looking wait. At that email that you printed out, and it said something about Tina
about what
being dirty or something.
Oh, it was because we made that comment last week. And
I don't even remember that comment.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. But it says that we probably shouldn't do that since your last name is Sanchez.
Is that from us?
All right, we're done.
We're done.
Hit the stop button.
All right.
Give me that. It's mine. Thank you.
Oh, and everybody, be sure to email Anthony about the name of that StarCraft unit. Thanks. Bye.